How you guys doing this morning? We good? If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke 9, 51. While you're doing that, you see up here it says, love Ephrata. So I'll tell you, that's a little difficult for me. In 1996 or 1997, Ephrata, by some miracle, beat Mannheim Central in a football game, in a homecoming football game, and I'm holding a little animosity this morning. You just let it go. It's amazing when you think about that love Ephrata. I came to the realization this morning that I have almost lived in Ephrata longer than I have not lived in Ephrata. Which, when people go, "Where are you from?" I almost have to say Ephrata. I got a few years yet, but almost. It's a good thing to say that. Luke 9, starting at 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent his messengers on ahead, who went to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was headed for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. Let's just pray this morning. I feel like I need to get out of my own head. Anybody ever have mornings like that? You got to get out of your own head. Let's do that. Father, just this morning, God, I'm so thankful just to be here. God, I'm thankful for the word that you've given me. And so, God, I just ask that whatever you want to put in will be put in, and whatever you want to take out will take out. And Holy Spirit, we just ask for you to divinely work in our midst this morning as we talk about being neighbors. Amen. So how many of you guys get distracted easily? Yeah? How many of you got distracted by the word distraction and you started to think of all the things that distract you and now you're distracted? And I'm sorry, what were we talking about? That's kind of how a lot of my life goes sometimes. But if you think about this verse and you read what this verse says, different translation talks about Jesus setting his face towards Jerusalem. He was purposeful. He was determined. He set his face towards something. He was focused. Jesus was engaged in what was about to happen. And he was ready for his destiny. Now, some of you guys know this. I used to drive truck. And one of the things, in order to keep myself from going insane, I would listen to podcasts. I'm a people person. The people that work with me in the office realize that. They send me an email, I walk into their office to tell them the answer. Like, that's just me. And so me driving truck all by myself, I would drive myself insane. And so I'd listen to podcasts. And they were really good podcasts, good Christian podcasts, Family Life Today and Focus on the Family and Dr. Dobson and all of these people with amazing wisdom. Except the problem was, is it would be something like that, this, just for one day, it would be, you know, 3 things to encourage your wife, 10 ways to raise godly children, 25 ways you are failing your marriage, but you can do better with 25 new things. And so after listening to that for a couple of days, you can tend to get into your own head and just almost drive yourself insane with all the things that you're not doing. And so I would try and pick 2 or 3 things and apply it to my life. And so one day I was sitting in a car and we're driving somewhere and I am asking Emily the most poignant, amazing questions that have ever been spoken. And she looks at me and she's like, where is all of this coming from? And I was like, well, I'm trying to improve myself and our marriage, and am I doing it wrong? And she said, no, but you're all over the place. Just talk to me. Oh, it's that easy. I didn't need the 25 things. That's amazing. It is amazing how often we will do that. We will take all of these things and try and improve. And all as God is doing, or all as he is asking, is set your face towards the people I've put you around. Your neighbors. When's the last time you set your face towards something or someone? One of my favorite quotes is by Corrie Ten Boom, and it says, "If the devil can't make us bad, he'll make you busy." And that's what happens. We get busy. Have you ever set your face towards your own neighborhood? Towards the people around you? Literally around you? We look at Ephrata and, well, it doesn't look like it used to. There's a lot of problems. How do we make a difference? Many of you heard the statistics this morning. How do you make a difference in that? It's just too big. And mentally, I think as Christians, we have this thing that, well, we're going to heaven. And so when it gets too tough and it gets too big, we have a tendency to go inside of ourselves, reach inside, and just curl up in a ball. And we somehow say, well, to heaven with me, to hell with the world. And I know that that breaks God's heart. Because God is saying, yes, but I put you in a house and I put you in a neighborhood surrounded by people who need me. And it's not an accident. Do you know that? You live where you're supposed to live for a reason. God's put you there. When we focus on the world and our government and whatever else is too big, we end up losing our focus, distraction, right? Squirrel. When we lose focus on God, we end up focusing on the world and all the other things that are happening. You know, if I'm worried about politics and gun control and women's rights and minority rights, right to life, right to choose, LGBTQ, and denominational politics, you know, I fail the very people that God has called me to. I fail because I miss the neighbor whose teenage daughter just got pregnant and they're contemplating an abortion. I fail because I miss the neighbor that's dying of cancer and just needs a friend. I fail because I miss the neighbor who lost their job and they're on the verge of losing everything and they need somebody. And I fail because I miss the neighbor who's tired of being disappointed and tired of life and is on the verge of suicide. That's when I fail. My neighborhood. So when I think about what does it mean to be a good neighbor? I have someone that comes to mind, and I thought, well, you know, you can pick someone nationally, but I wanted to pick somebody locally. And I don't know if many of you would remember, there was a little farm market. It's now Roxanne's Flowers outside of Akron. It used to be called Risser's Farm Market. And it was run by Malin and Anna Mae Risser. That's why it was called Risser's Farm Market. They raised 8 kids in that house. And it closed roughly 19 years ago. However, there's a lot of stories surrounding Malin. And most of the stories, you have to realize, were done in secret because he wouldn't tell anybody. But Malin was a really good neighbor. When I asked his kids some of the stories that they remember, I'll just give you a couple. Is that all right? I'll give you a couple stories of what it means to be a neighbor. There was a huge storm that had hit and flooded out parts of Farmersville, and some of the victims of that storm were doing wash, trying to wash what they had left at the laundromat right next door. And one of the ladies came over to get more stuff from Malin, and he refused to charge her. He just sent her back over and just prayed for her, just blessed her. Malin oftentimes would get caught lending money to his neighbors. Wouldn't tell Anna Mae often either. But he'd lend money with no hope of ever seeing that money again. It was a true gift. It was a story of 1 year that a single mom had been at his store and really wanted a Christmas tree but couldn't afford it. And so Malin took one, strapped it to the top of her car, and sent her on her way. No charge. Just have a good Christmas. His kids oftentimes remember him opening early or opening late because a neighbor was in need and needed something, and he was always there to help, no matter what. And you know, if you had fallen on hard times and you went into Malin's store and he found out about it, well, you went home with a whole lot more groceries than you ever paid for. Because he knew what it meant to have dignity And he didn't want to embarrass people, so he made sure that they always had extra fruits and vegetables at their table. Best place you could have ever shopped. Now, I know that's a little hard because, you know, I don't own a farmer's market. I don't grow things very well either. But, you know, it didn't stop there. When Malin and Anna May sold their farmer's market and moved into a really just small house in Akron, he never stopped. He grew a garden and began to plant fruits and vegetables, and he gave them out to every neighbor who even walked past and admired it. You more than likely were going to leave with some sort of fruit, some sort of vegetable that he had grown, just as a blessing. This guy was known for blocks around. I'm convinced people walked past his house just to see if they could maybe get an apple off his tree. Organic, by the way, huh? Malin didn't stop there, though. He reached out to the little boy across the street who had very violent tendencies and would lash out. But, you know, Malin was peaceful with him and showed him what it meant to be a Christian role model. And he loved on this kid. Taught him what it meant to work. Taught him what it meant to be a good citizen and a good person. Next door to them was a lesbian couple. Malin never judged them. He loved on them. He would help fix their house. They always had fruits and vegetables. He played with their kids. Simple things that he did. And you know, it's amazing because when Malin passed away quite a few years ago, they were the first couple, the first people at Anna Mae's door to ask if she needed help. And they would constantly check in on her if she was okay. Because of a few fruits and vegetables, and because somebody loved. Now this all seems very easy. And you know it honestly is. If we have a laser-like focus on our neighborhoods, we can see things change. Most of us are never going to do something that is going to change a city or a state or a country. But if you had a laser-like focus on your neighborhood, guess what? You would change a city. Isn't that the point? Isn't that what we're called to do? Love your neighbor. And I think as Christians, we like that. We're like, okay, that's everyone in the world. It is. But it starts on the literal street you live on. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. What is your face set towards? Jesus knew his time was limited. I don't know about you, but I'm knocking on the door of 40 and I'm starting to realize my time is limited. Not quite as much as those that are knocking on the door of 50. We'll get there someday. You see everybody elbows somebody. I love that. Your time is limited. Who are you reaching? Who are you focused on? What have you set in front of your face? I oftentimes wonder if my kids do this a little bit better than I do, or I know they do. I found that out this year. Back when we had our Christmas program, Lindsay had given out cards to the kids and asked them to invite their neighbors. And so we're kind of new in our neighborhood and only had been there for a few months. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to help my kids out. I'll go outside, I'll take the dog for a walk, and I'll try and meet up with some of these neighbors. And I got the cards with me. And as I go and meet up with some of my neighbors, everyone says the same thing. Oh, yeah, your kids already talked to my kids about it. Oh, and so did the Murphy kids, by the way. They talked to my kids about it, too. And I'm like, what am I doing out here? Here I think I'm helping my kids. My kids are teaching me what it means to be a good neighbor. You see, they didn't wait until an opportune time or try and plan a situation of walking the dog. No. They took the cards, they went out, and they found all the kids, and they gave them out. Boom, boom, boom. Can you come? Would you come see us? They didn't fear. There was no fear there. I've never been so proud of my children. That was amazing. And it really changed my thought process of my neighborhood. My house is on a corner. It has a big front yard and almost no backyard. The day we moved in, my wife comes in and she goes, I think there's 14 kids on our lawn. I don't know who any of them are. I was like, that's amazing. I hope they all go home. Even if they don't, that's fine. But it put in me a vision and a drive to do something in my neighborhood. I just want to help out. I just want to be Christ in my neighborhood. What does that mean? Well, it means I need a bigger refrigerator because I'd like to fill it with drinks and popsicles for the summer and make sure that no kid would even have to ask if they want a drink. They could just come in to the refrigerator and get it. Well, that's not hard to do, is it? No, but it costs a little something, and it's worth it. And it means that maybe you're not so worried about the kids running across your lawn. You know, your really nice lawn. The one that, you know, the people come out 4 or 5 times a year. That's not me, by the way. I probably should. I'm thinking the rest of the neighbors are going to start talking. But it means that the person running across your yard, you might be the only godly influence they ever get. Ever. No pressure. And what about the neighbor out there who's, it's 100 and whatever degrees and they're mowing their grass? Be that cup of cold water. Brian talked about this weeks ago. Be that cup of cold water. Take it out to them. Bring them refreshment. Love on your neighbors. So what's your excuse? I'm too busy. I got too much else going on. We're very involved, you know. Very popular, my children are. They do lots of things. Can we change our neighborhoods? Can we start there? So what do? Maybe you can just bring a meal to somebody. Maybe your house needs to be the neighborhood house that's safe for kids to hang out in. And yes, they might come in with muddy shoes and ruin your nice new carpet. It's okay. It can be replaced. But maybe your house is destined to be that. Maybe your neighbors just need somebody to talk to. And if we're so busy and we're so focused on everything else, we miss what God has placed right in front of you. We as humans, we do a lot of things, but we don't always do everything with excellence. 1 Corinthians 10:23. I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. We have been called to do a lot of things. But this verse shows us how important Jesus made it that he says, I put my face towards my neighbors, towards Jerusalem, towards Ephrata, and I'm going to bring about change. I'd like to read a poem for you. It's not one I wrote. Don't worry. It's a poem by a guy named Propaganda, and it's about time. And this is actually what his father taught him. Actually, for a moment, let's say, can you just close your eyes for a moment? I think it helps us focus a little bit. Just close your eyes for a moment as I read this to you. Son, you can't rush her or slow her down. You better keep her on your side. She will slip through your fingers like sand. Her name is Time. And she told me a secret. She said multitasking is a myth. You ain't doing anything good, just everything awful. And she begged me to stop stretching her thin, stuffing her full, and stop being so concerned with the old her and the future her. But to love her now. Her presence is God's present. And you have to treat that present. Think about your present. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I have a lot of trouble living in the present because my focus is everywhere and on everything. But being present in this, that when you are in your neighborhood, you are in your neighborhood. When you go get your mail, you're praying for your neighbors. You're looking for an opportunity. God, I'm going to go get the mail. Is there somebody I got to have a conversation with today? It'd be cool. Because I've been stuck inside all day with kids. Because it's raining. We don't always do everything with a vision. Asking God, God, what can I learn from this? We're going to go take a walk around our neighborhood. God, what can we do? What can we pray about in our neighborhood? Who needs help? Who can I reach out? Who can I love on? I have this deep desire to set this in front of me, to have this be in front of my face as we head towards the summer. Already in my neighborhood, you're starting to see it. You get a warm day, sunny day, it's like Armageddon of children just out of houses. We're not even sure where they all were. They just pour out. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Because everyone there needs something. So maybe you can help one, just one. I often think as Christians, somebody gave me the analogy, we're like octopuses. I didn't get that at first. I had to think about it. We are like octopuses. We got our hands in everything, in everywhere. But God's asking for your face. What is your face towards? This is amazing because God can do this. You have been put there for a reason. I came to this realization a few weeks ago, and I'll just share one last quick little thing with you. A few weeks ago, just stuff in my house was breaking. Anybody ever have that? When it rains, it pours, right? Everything breaks. Just everything goes at once. I don't know how, if they talk to each other, I don't know what happens. It just goes, right? It just happens. And so I'm in here on a Sunday morning, and I'm frustrated with God, and I'm trying to pray, trying to be spiritual. And I'm frustrated with God, and I can't get past what is happening. And all of a sudden, God says, and just something in my mind turns, and I say something out loud in a prayer, and it's either most profound or the stupidest thing I've ever said. You know, very fine line between those two things. And out of my mouth comes, God, the house that you've given me is costing all the money that you've given me. And I let that set in for a minute. And I was like, wow. Just laughed at myself and left because I'm like, there's no coming back from that. God, how dare I? You have put me in this house. You have placed me in this neighborhood. Now it's my job to set my face to it and to bring you in. It's my job to set my face towards my neighbors and to love on them. To be who you've called me to be in this neighborhood. Whatever that takes, whatever that is, that's what we are called to do. If the worship team would come up, I'd like to actually end just doing a little exercise, if that's okay. How many of you have looked up your neighborhood or something on Google Maps, right? You've seen, you know what it looks like, right, from a sky view. If you don't know what it looks like from a sky view, just imagine yourself standing at your front door and what it looks like. And so what I would like to do is I'd like to pray for us. And what I would like you to do is I'd actually like you to hold out one hand, and in that hand is your neighborhood, right? It's the Google Map view. If you haven't done this, go home and Google your neighborhood. And just view your neighborhood. Your neighborhood is sitting in your hand. And so this morning, I want us to decide if we're going to set our face towards it or not. Are we going to change effort or are we going to leave it alone? Are we going to curl up into our home and tell our kids, no, don't go play outside. It's dangerous out there. There's dangerous people. So imagine your neighborhood, and I want to pray over you. Father, right now, God, as each person is thinking about their neighborhood and their neighbors and who didn't cut their grass recently or their bushes and who might need help. God, I pray just for my own life, God, for my own neighborhood. God, I want to set my face towards my neighbors. I want to be a help. I want to be a light to them. I want to do what it takes to to better them, to introduce them to you. God, whatever that takes, whatever resources I have, I give to my neighborhood. The strength I have, I give to my neighborhood. God, because that's where you place me. So, Lord, I set my face towards my neighborhood. I thank you for that, Father. Amen. Guys, you can do this. This is simple. Set your face to your neighborhood. You can change it. You can change the atmosphere around it. Go do it. Amen.